Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I'm your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Aki and Bree, and Jacob's late.
Yep.
As you said, as usual.
Yep. So what are you two doing besides not being late?
I'm doing stuff that involves news.
Yes. I have been just packing still, again. I emptied out the truck today. Super exciting stuff, I know. And then I had like an almost crying fit because I thought I was going to lose my Bear Mercury CD. But I got that shit out of there. So
yay.
I'm good to go. Yay.
You should look for one of those wireless FM transmitters that you just like plug into an MP3 player and connect to your radio.
Yeah, I have something like that. That I found in the glove compartment. I don't know if it still works. It requires batteries. So I don't know if it still works.
The one I always used was a monster one that plugged into the cigarette lighter car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Remember when you could smoke in cars?
Oh, yeah.
You had ashtrays in the back seat.
Oh, my gosh.
For kids to put their gum in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's always fun when Jacob's not here to pick on.
Yep.
Like it's an emptiness inside.
A little bit.
Yeah. Fuck Jacob.
Yay!
Even when he's not here, he's ruining our damn time. Goddamn.
Oh, here's a new sound effect for you, Aki.
Oh my god, yeah, I fucking peed myself.
Didn't like that one?
I love that. That was great.
Did you hurt me?
Oh my god, yeah. I fucking peed myself.
That's unbelievable.
All right, let's dive into some news. We got some news to chat about. We got a bunch of reviews we got to take care of. And we're going to make Jacob lead all of them when he gets here.
Sounds good.
Even the ones that he didn't do. I'm going to make him lead.
You know what? Fair. I am totally for that. That sounds fucking amazing. Let's do it.
Well, there's only like one game he didn't do, so.
Well, there's two, which makes me like, should I start the joke with Viewfinder or should we like slow burn it until Bonk and Bash at the end?
There is two. Oh, yeah. Totally. I forgot about Bonk and Bash.
The slow burn to Bonk and Bash would absolutely confuse him.
Oh, yeah.
Everything confuses him, so that's not really saying much.
It's true. Shadows confuse him.
Yeah.
Magnets
I believe
confuse
it.
Him. The wind.
I believe it, too.
Jacob is scared of the wind.
I believe it.
What a nightmare scenario it is when he farts.
Oh, my gosh.
Ah, fart joke it's on like, SML.
Yeah. It's like a cat every time that they fart and scare themselves.
Or a dog that farts and wakes itself up.
Oh yeah, yeah, exactly.
Hey Ashley, do you have any fun stories about pets farting themselves? Do you have any fun stories about pets farting? No, damn it. And that's why she's not on the show. That and she's smart. She's very smart. She knows not to get involved in this. I don't know what your excuse is, Bree, but you're fucking stuck here. So let's chat some news. How does that sound?
Sounds good.
We're going to start off with some incredible good news. Microsoft is finally doing something about the game spam on the Xbox Store. bundles can no longer include the same game title under multiple SKUs. So those triple stack bundles we always see clogging up the store, gone. The two-pack bundles
Jacob
we see,
and Bree are going to be very sad. Gone.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They can still release the games individually, but they cannot bundle them to make them cheaper. A lot of people who relied on those sales for three packs, for triple stacks, are probably going to start thinking, you know what? I'll pick one and stick with it. I don't need to buy the same game three times. And hopefully developers start using that little known feature called Play Anywhere, where you buy one copy of the game. You can play it on your Xbox One, your Xbox Series, and your Xbox PC. Oh, Dwagonite is saying nice. Xbox and Xbox Series is not allowed, but Series, Windows, and Xbox is. Ugh. The double stacks are gone, not triple stacks. Fuck. Well, the problem will still be there for a while, I guess. It's the start, at least.
Yep.
But hopefully this means the at least the outbreak spam is gone.
Yep.
The outbreak and Cynthia bundles we would see every goddamn Friday.
Oh my god,
Friday.
The Cynthia.
There's like 8 different cosmetic items in the game, and they release a different bundle every week with like 2 different ones.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh yep. My god, so...
I know the outbreak, I don't know the Cynthia stuff at all.
Just browse, you'll recognize it when you see it. Let's switch companies and talk about some more good news. PlayStation Plus game catalog for August 19th has been revealed, and they got themselves a great month of games. Ready for these?
No.
All right, let's do it.
Mortal Kombat 1.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Spider-Man and Spider-Man Remastered, depending on the platform you're on, obviously. Whether PS4 or PS5. Cool. Sword of the Sea, which is a day one launch.
Nice.
Earth Defense Force 6.
Okay.
Okay.
Would love those to finally come to Xbox One these days. Unicorn Overlord.
Oh. Very nice. That game was apparently really good.
Yeah. Atelier Ryza 3, Alchemist of the End and the Secret Key.
Hell yeah. Okay. Those games were great.
And then let's toss a couple indies in here too with Indica.
Oh, nice.
Harold Halibut.
Nice.
Okay.
And Coral Island.
Awesome.
Cool.
Let's toss two premium classics in there as well with PS1 versions of Resident Evil 2 and 3.
Very nice.
Nice.
That's damn, they got a lot of good shit. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so very good impressive. Shit there for game catalog owners. And then let's talk about some interesting good news that mixes both companies. Helldivers released a new 20-second teaser this week that got everybody's attention because it is a crossover with Halo 3 ODST.
Okay, tell me more.
There's not much more. You just see, like, the City of Reach and a Helldiver pod land.
Hmm. Interesting.
To top this off, data miners have found traces of, quote, a Halo product in the store backend for the PS5. Absolutely nobody is shocked at this news.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, good times. Someone was like, oh man, I can't wait for, Gears OD, the Zero Day? Like, I can't wait for Zero Day to come out. That one's going to be exclusive. Listen, buddy, some bad news for you, man. Xbox exclusive is not a term you're going to hear anymore. Them days are gone.
And hopefully soon will be gone all the days of all the other ones, except for maybe Nintendo, because that'll never happen.
It'd be nice to see, but, you know, time will tell. And Xbox is on board. Sony is starting to dip their toes into the water. Hopefully they see the Helldivers experiment go well. I like how a year and a half ago we went from, it's just 4 games. It's just 4 games. Year and a half later, it's our entire catalog and we're working with Sony to get Halo into Helldivers.
Yeah.
mean, shit works, yo.
It's four games, shit though, kids.
Works.
Four games.
Four D games, that's all.
I think the interesting experiment is if Fable will be a day one launch on PlayStation.
I would because think hey, not.
Fable, but... Fable's not a live service game.
Right.
Fable's not a multiplayer, get a big community. That's a single player game. Like, as of right now, South of Midnight and Avowed, no word on PlayStation. Could they go? Maybe later this year, early next year. It makes you wonder if Xbox will still retain temporary exclusivity on single player projects. Yeah. That's just me spitballing. I think it's possible, but yeah, we'll see. Some sad news. We got to tackle a little bit of sad news. Biffle Games announced that the majority of its full-time staff has been made redundant. 11 full-time employees have been let go.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sucks. I worry that like the success of Thomas Was Alone kind of got too many eyes on him and his team, and they just kept going with these big license projects that just, like, they were good, but they weren't exceptional like Thomas Was Alone.
Yeah, that was a really good game.
Yeah. Mortal Kombat 1 is up to 6.2 million units sold.
Nice.
That one's doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Remedy confirmed that they are teaming with Rockstar for Max Payne 1 and 2 Remake, and it is in the works.
Awesome.
Cool.
Indeed. Chibi Robo. Fucking Chibi Robo is hitting GameCube Online August 21st.
I have no idea what that is.
That is cool as fuck. It is like you're a tiny little robot who does household chores. It's cute as hell.
Hmm.
They had a Chibi Robo amiibo for a while. That thing was cute. But yeah, hit Switch to GameCube Online lineup next week.
Cool.
Crimson Desert delayed to a unspecified Q1 2026 release.
Well, that's a shame.
Yeah. Service for PUBG on Xbox One and PS4 is ending November 13th. The game will require players to upgrade to a Series or PS5 or a PC that is not 17 years old.
Yep.
That's a shame. Yeah. Doesn't shock me. But it's like still the a PS4 shame for all the Genshin people
losing
PCs.
Their shit that they're ending Genshin Impact on PS4. Like, it's holding the game back. It's time to let it go. Like, why do you think they killed Final Fantasy XI on PS2 and Xbox 360? Like, time to move on, people.
Yeah.
We're in current gen. This is what, fourth year of series? Fifth year?
Something like that.
Something like that. Oh, geez. And just in time for my last bit of news, Jacob's here.
Wait, I'm your news?
No, I said you're here in time for my last bit of news.
Oh.
So when we go to your news later on, everything you say, we're going to be like, yeah, we talked.
I doubt that.
Yeah, me too. R-Type Delta
something important to talk
Boosted
about.
Has been announced for a November 20th release. I believe this is through City Connection, if I remember properly. It will release on the Switch, PS4, PS5, PC, and Series. Yay! R-Type Delta is awesome. And if anyone ever heard of the game Platypus, it was a PSP side-scrolling shooter that was like claymation.
Yes.
Sounds
coming
cool.
Coming back.
Yeah.
Vinus.
Got an email about that.
Vividness?
I actually got three emails about it. They had the author's name, Anthony something, and then they sent out a correction that his name was Anthony something, and then they sent out another email that was like, no, it was Anthony.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
Yeah. Aki, what news do you have?
Well, Spirit Swap Lo-Fi Beats to Kinect 3.2 has gotten some updates to fix, hopefully, what was left of the broken achievements in that game. I am currently fucking around with it, trying to see if it actually has fixed them all. I managed to get the play as every character in the multiplayer, so that's nice. Now I only have two more to do. Sadly, your main campaign game will be gone, so the handful of hours that you spent finishing that, you'll have to redo again in order to get all the romances, but hopefully everything else is fixed. That's it.
All you got?
Yeah, my brain is mush. I can't think anymore.
You're going to have to start thinking of a new excuse besides that.
Why?
It's been your excuse so well. For 8 years now.
Yeah. And it still works because it's true.
Yeah. Bree, what news do you have?
I just have one thing, which was that Fallout 5 has been confirmed as greenlit. It's in the very early stages, and it would follow after Elder Scrolls 6 in the release schedule.
We're not going to see that for like 2035.
Yeah, good news is the Fallout, you know, TV show season 2 premieres in December if you need your Fallout fix before that. So, yeah.
Yay!
That's all I got.
All right, Jacob, what news do you have that we probably covered?
I don't know. Did you cover Disney Dreamlight Valley news?
Oh my God, no. Talk about it. Go.
So, the next Star Path starts up next week. I don't even remember what the heck the theme of it is. It doesn't matter because the big news is it is confirmed we are getting Joy and Sadness from Inside Out.
Oh my God, yeah,
as free characters. I didn't go that far, but I think
you did. Damn it, now I have to go potty.
Okay. Anyway, also we're getting a apparently FX is making an adaptation of Far Cry.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be an anthology series instead of like a yeah, I don't know. Cuz apparently it's going to star Rob Mack.
Huh.
From It's Always Sunny.
Yeah. I don't like his name change.
I could not give a shit less about his name change.
I just think it looks dumb.
Yeah. So are we waiting for Aki to get back from peeing? Or
no, is that all the news you had?
Yeah, I didn't have much.
Damn.
It has not been a very news-filled week.
I don't know. I had a bunch of news to talk about.
I wouldn't know. I had to put my kids to bed. Yeah, because I have kids.
Why are your kids up so late?
That is an excellent question, because I was trying to get them to go to bed, and yeah, it just took forever, and now they're currently in bed reading. So, and the best part is, like, they're like, can we stay up and read? And I'm just like, you wouldn't have listened to me anyway, so sure.
Yay.
Oh, I mean, shit, at Jacob, least they're reading.
New AFIL came in.
Really?
Sending that to you.
Okay.
You know you love it.
I'm not gonna lie, like, I'm kind of I'm surprised about, like, triple stacks are okay. And
yeah,
like,
but
so
doubles are not.
I know, but I like how everyone prematurely
yeah, including us.
On True Achievements was just like, oh my God, they're finally going to get rid of them. And then it's just like, oh, it's really just Drop Dead Studios that they're telling to drop dead.
Which, you know, it's a good start. And if it gets rid of the console stack bundles, that's good too. One more icon I have to see.
To farm lands, Xbox and Windows. I don't even know what the fuck this game is.
Honestly,
is it Sokoban? Is it like a Vampire Survivors clone? What is it?
It is embargoed until the 19th, so we can't talk about what it is.
Oh, we can't? We can't even say, like, well, hold on. Like,
I guess it's fair. We haven't played it.
Right. And so,
is the trailer on the store?
I don't know. I have to, like, I'm installing it right now on my work computer. It says that, like, it falls under puzzle and trivia, family and kids, and strategy. Oh! Wait. What? Okay, I think it's gonna be like, Legends Aligned and Fit and, Fit and Fresh. Fit and Fried. Whatever. Yeah, I think it's like those.
Hockey's getting the Windows code. Haha, you got it now, Hockey. You're stuck with it.
Have it done before the end of the Hockey podcast.
Yeah, that's funny. You probably will. Like, if we could review it tonight, you would. But we can't. We got other games to review, and we are going to start. How's that sound?
I mean, it sounds great, because, I mean, if you think about it, like, because Aki and I are the ones with the codes for this game, it means that Aki and I have to team up for reviews way more, which I know, I mean, just
realistically, it doesn't. I can just leave them to you.
Joe won't allow that.
Yes, he will. He doesn't care.
And also our listeners care.
The thing is, I know you wouldn't do that, Aki, because they're easy achievements and easy to complete. So you will beat them, and you will be able to talk about them, and you couldn't lie about it, because I would see right through you.
Yeah.
And
damn it.
Speaking of seeing through things, first game to talk about tonight is Viewfinder. Developed by Sad Owl Studios, published by Thunderful Publishing, released August 14th, Series X and S, and Xbox PC, $24.99. Challenge perception, redefine reality, and reshape the world around you with an instant camera. Viewfinder is a new single-player game offering gamers hours of interesting fun experiences while uncovering the mysteries left behind. Bree, what's Viewfinder?
So, I would start off by saying this game is gorgeous and mind-bending. You start out with very little instruction. Eventually, through play, you figure out how to jump and pick things up. And this starts out about discovery, and I'm all for it. As you get further into the game, we're exploring and finding out that there's some kind of simulation that we break horribly. And then we learn that the environment is screwed in the real world. The oxygen levels are low. Plants don't grow. The sky is all red all the time. And the assumption is that I got early on is that through the technology you're exploring in the viewfinder, you're going to help find some solutions to the world's problems. But the focus of this game isn't the story. That's just a backdrop to the cool puzzles. The gist of the gameplay is taking 2D art, like photographs, and turning them into 3D space in the environment that you're in. The levels are like Escher meets Magritte paintings. Surreal, about perspective, adjusting your perceptions of reality, and you'll have to turn photos around to get a different perspective to create bridges and make new spaces to explore and find your teleporters. And sometimes you'll have to use photos to delete parts of the current scenery, like a walled room, to get at what's inside. You can rewind time, like an old VHS tape, and unwind mistakes, like walking over a breaking bridge. There are batteries to power things like teleporters. I accidentally brought a photo to life over top of a battery and had to rewind so that I could get 3 batteries to power the teleporter. Batteries are a pretty core mechanic in the game. Rewinding is also helpful if you get stuck to try and see things from a different perspective. The game does a good job of building on skills. So when you get a new mechanic or concept, you need to figure out how to use to solve the puzzle. And then later, you keep those concepts in mind, it will be an easier part of the base solution for a new puzzle. Like, you can photocopy items allowed to duplicate a battery, you can have extra photos to make a bridge to a far-off island later on, and aside from photocopiers, you get a park-style viewfinder that you can spit out Polaroid photos from, and you can use those to take pictures of things and have them where you want them, and then you get your own Polaroid camera at some point, where you can take pictures at your leisure, but you have limited film in each level. It's really hard to describe, but it's really fun. While simple, the graphics were fantastic. There's vibrant colors that contrast the black and white photos you pick up. There's murals and art everywhere, like paintings in progress. It looks like an artist had fun with this weird landscape of floating islands and building bits. The foliage has movement to it that made it feel realistic. But the real fun is how they accomplished that 2D to 3D plane switch in making flat objects come to life. It's really trippy at first to see, and it's still astonishing later on into the game. Like, I don't know how to express the joy at still being surprised in Chapter 5. You have to think about dimensions and flip the photos to be able to walk on different planes that you'd normally think about. There's also collectibles like rubber ducks and magnets and mahjong tiles and things for you to find in each of the levels for an added challenge. And sometimes they're hidden in really cool places. Like there's this one Zelda map is the best way I can describe it that you pick up a picture of and you post it in the 3D space and it becomes a relief and you can walk in there and there's a mahjong tile suddenly inside that space. It was just really cool, but you've got like a moving waterfall in there and it just looks like a little snippet of Zelda that you can bring to life in 3D. It was really cool. There's a hub world where you can revisit old worlds and see your collection of collectibles. You also find a train that will take you to other hub worlds, and each hub has teleporters that will transport you to the levels in the simulation. You can exit the levels at any time by pressing the start button and return to the hub. There are optional challenge levels you can do. You can even redo the levels from the hub if you missed a collectible or weren't sure of the core skill you were supposed to learn. And each hub has its own flavor to it that's based on a character represented in the supplemental world building material. I can say that. There is what I can only describe as a gray Cheshire cat. I can't talk. A gray Cheshire cat. And its name is Kate, and it talks, and you can pet the cat for an achievement.
Very good.
Kate is kind of like an AI guide through the simulation. The music is like a walking meditation. There's like nature sounds and air and sound bowls vibrating beautifully. It's very relaxing. There are 5 chapters with several levels in each chapter. So like levels have multiple components to them. You might have like a level and it'll have 3 parts to it. And when you go back into the level, you can actually replay from the different checkpoints. You don't have to go through the entire level all over again, which is pretty cool if you know what you're looking for when you're trying to find a collectible or something. I'd say it's an 8-ish hour game if you're going for the completion with all the collectibles and the optional levels. Just a couple quick notes. The default setting for this game is to have captions on, which I appreciated. And if you're stuck in the game, there are hints on the main menu. But yeah, this game is beautifully made. If you like games like Maquette or Superliminal, I think you're going to love this game. I still need to go back and mess with some of the optional challenge levels and find all the collectibles, and I'm really looking forward to it.
There's some a lot of the hard time, stuff in this game, too.
Oh, yes. A lot of the time, I think I overthought puzzles or missed out on something really obvious. Don't forget to look up, by the way. That was a mistake I made. I probably sat in that level for like 20 minutes and eventually accidentally looked up, and there was the solution to my problem. The controls and puzzle mechanics built on ideas that are familiar from other games, so it flowed fairly intuitively. And what the game needed you to learn was through experimentation, and it felt fun. It was lacking a little in the story department, but I didn't mind because I loved the puzzles. And there was just enough world building if you looked for it that I felt I had a reason to be there.
Very good. Let's talk price on this bad boy. It clocks in at $24.99. It is on sale for about the next week and a half or so for $19.99. And it is Play Anywhere, so $25. What do you think of Viewfinder?
I'd say I loved it. I'd say buy it. I actually, it's a really generous launch sale. So grab it now.
Very good. All right. Up next, we are going to tackle a 4-pack of titles from Ocean Media. And to celebrate, they gave us some 4-packs of games from Ocean Media. We are going to tackle Dark Steel Legends, Lost and Found Agency, Destination Paradise, and Jewel Match Solitaire Winterscapes 2. And someone right now is going to win a copy of all four games. What do you think of that?
Oh my God, I hope it's me. I hope it's me.
Fucking stupid. All right, giveaway draw.
Then I can play the games through the reviews.
That wouldn't shock me. Let's draw. Winner is Latino Heat. Congrats, BX. I will send you a DM in just a few moments with four games. Four. And I'm not resetting the entries because we got more to give away tonight. Good night awesome. To be here. Dark Steel Legends, developed by Dark Curry, published by Ocean Media, released August 5th on Xbox One and Series X and S for $14.99. Enter the world of Fight Legends, a fast-paced, action-packed medieval combat game where your skills and strategy will decide your fate. Face hordes of challengers, hone your abilities, hunt down enemies worldwide in epic duels. Break free, fight for glory, become a legend. Jacob, we know you're not a legend. What'd you do in this?
All right. So that description of the plot or the game description, that varies greatly from what you actually get. The game builds itself as a medieval. They actually said a medieval fight simulator, correct?
What's the wording? Medieval combat game. For your skills and strategy, decide your fate.
All right. I mean, yeah, theoretically, it's medieval because of some of the suits of armor that you can unlock in this game. But if you were expecting any kind of plot to be here, it's not present at all, which is a shame because, I mean, it could have set itself up for something. So according to the game's story, there is this city that, like, all the mercenaries, like, every once in a great while, like, they come here and there's a tournament to decide, like, who's the mightiest of them all. But you're all also trying to kill each other. So the market on mercenaries is about to get, like, real small. I mean, which is good if you're the winner. If you're not, then you're dead. So
did you die?
Only like twice, to be honest. And that was because like I had clearly battled a guy who was way higher than me. So there are three different
good scrub.
No, it's get grindy. Because you are going to be doing a lot in this game. Note that the game is free on tablets. There's a reason for that. Because, again, you're going to be grinding a lot. But anyways, there's three different classes that you could choose from. There is knight, like assassin, and warrior, which is like, and it plays this kind of like rock, paper, scissors kind of thing. Like, assassins are stronger than knights. Knights are stronger than warriors. Warriors are stronger than assassins, and like so on and so forth. And the game lets it that you can change your class on the fly. So, you know, if you need to hop out and change classes to defeat the next guy, you can, which theoretically is a good idea, but it costs 1,000 gold each time that you do it, which is roughly about the money that you're going to get from like 10-15 fights. And so it's just like, if you have to switch your class to like for the very next fight, you're gonna have to grind out like, you know, 10 or 15 more fights just so you have the money to swap classes. As you play, you unlock weapons, you unlock armor, you know, clothing, all that kind of stuff. You can combine them to theoretically make the items more powerful, but of course, you know, as you're going through, like the weapons, like common weapons are obviously not as good as uncommon, and then rare, and then legendary, and stuff like that. So like you're gonna find rare occasions where like, you know, like a rare sword, if you've got like two or three stars behind it, you know, that might be theoretically more powerful than a legendary sword, so you'll have to get more and upgrade those, and then it is a really long and grindy process. And I cannot overstate how much of a grind there is to this game, because the very first guy that you beat will give you 100 experience points. But then if you're fighting somebody else in Chapter 3, they're only going to give you like 125 experience points, and it takes way longer to get that fight done. And so you then have to make the decision, do I want to fight like that first level guy like a million times, or do I want to have subpar combat against this Chapter 3 guy and hopefully advance the story? And it really doesn't matter either way, because again, you're gonna have to grind all this shit, and the game does not, like, the game makes it so you can unlock like more powerful weapons and stuff like that, but you can't just like spend gold to buy experience points and stuff like that. I currently have 10 hours or like 9 or 10 hours sunk into this game, and like as of last Friday, I was initially planning on trying to become the first person to 1K this game, and a guy that I was like, you know, constantly like sparring with over achievements, like, you know, who was going to get it first. He eventually got to it before me. He ended up playing this game for like 20 odd hours, and I'm just like, yo, like, there's 4 more achievements for like me to get, like, and it's going to take me 9 more hours. No. like the combat is not that, like, it's not that good. It has the potential for it, but it's not. And honestly, those Deadliest Warrior games that got released back on the Xbox 360 had better, like had more entertaining fights than this game ever will. Like, you only have 3 arena choices, and I whoever designed the arenas for this game, they really, you could tell that they were very inspired by like the old Soul Calibur games, and they looked beautiful. I loved them. It was just great. And then but then I would notice that like nothing in the background, or like, you know, you'd see furniture right there, and you could throw somebody into a table, and nothing would happen to the table. Nothing would, like, in the, like, on top of it, like, nothing in the environment's destructible. Nothing reacts to anything. It's just there. It's just all static. And it, like, it made me so frustrated, because it's just like, some of this stuff looks really nice and really well designed, and it's just wasted. Like, I don't know. Like, even like the enemy fighters, like, it would have been cool if like we got some sort of backstory. Like, they could easily write up a story for this. Like, why is everyone there for this thing? Who's entering for, you know, for love? Who's entering in for riches? All this kind of stuff. It's just, it's there. It's a freemium game, and you're going to be paying like $15 for it on Xbox.
Yeah, so it's $15. What are you doing?
No. Like, there's a lot of potential with this game.
Me all week, you're like, I am having so much more fun with this than I would.
Than I expected, yeah. And then it's just like, you actually like sit back and think about how much grinding you're going to have to do in this game just to be able to finish off the quote-unquote storyline that doesn't actually exist. And it's just, no, like, there's a, as I said, like, there's so much potential in this game, and it's just wasted on this, like, easy grind. Like, it's disappointing. It really is. I wanted to like this. Like.
All right. Well, next up is Lost and Found Agency, developed by AV Games. Published by Ocean Media, released August 5th, Xbox One, Series X and S for $9.99. Get orders from the detective agency Lost and Found Agency to search for missing objects and go to fascinating locations full of riddles and mysteries. Explore dangerous places, decipher clues, and uncover the secrets leading to the solution. Find the missing objects and solve the crime, confirming your abilities and intuition. Shit, abilities and Jacob, that doesn't line up. Well, good thing Bree's on this one to help back him up. Jacob, start us off. What's Lost and Found Agency?
Lost and Found Agency is a hidden object game with the idea that you're you're hired as part of this detective agency, which is going to find things that are
lost.
Lost. There you go.
Oh, I thought it was going to be obvious. Oops.
Yeah. And so you have to there's all these items that you have to check off your list, and then it's like, yay, good job. But there's no plot to this. So if for all these dangerous situations, no, it's just a hidden object game. Find the stuff on the list. Most of the stuff was easier to follow and made sense. And the game didn't really tie anything to it, Destination Paradise, for you to be able to advance. And so it's just really, can you find the stuff? Yay, good job. Bree, any thoughts from you?
So, yeah, a couple things user interface wise. To move around the main menu, you use a cursor in a way that was obviously a PC port with little thought to how console controls are normally used. Instead of selecting the back button with B or hitting A on the word, you have to hit A on the word back on the screen or the X on the screen. And you have to use the cursor to move around like it was a mouse game. To be fair, cursor is the best way to navigate 90% of this game regardless. It's just a note that, I noticed as a pattern. The storyline is thin at best, like Jacob said, mostly puzzles, which is disappointing for a mystery-themed game. Whether or not I usually pay attention to the story or not, it is nice to have more of a reason for all the hidden object puzzles. There were some.
This one really I was going to say it felt really slapdash for that.
Yeah, there were some language barrier stuff where common objects were named oddly. Instead of a fire poker, it was a fire hook. Darts was a dartboard, which makes it challenging to find things at times, especially when there are achievements for finding things in a timely manner.
We did see that with Artifacts Mundi games as well back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
I think absolutely. That's just a European issue translation.
Yeah, yeah. There is a hint system, and you can skip regular puzzles back to the hidden object puzzles if you want. But you'll need to beat things eventually to unlock the other scenes. I mean, despite not having a story, I like this one. I'll be honest, there were a lot of times when I played this kind of game and I skip half the story, like I said. There was a good variety of the puzzles. I mean... for what it was and how to find things in the scene. I wasn't super bored with it. I didn't always know what the key item was I was supposed to be finding in each scene, but there's no penalty for random clicking on things, which is how I mostly found them. And they do have some other fun things to find, like a raccoon, which is usually wearing sunglasses or a hat or a tie or something cute.
I did appreciate that with, you could click as much as you need to on the, on the easy difficulty.
Yeah.
The games that you try doing that, and after five clicks, it blocks you out for 10 seconds.
Yeah.
I don't have time for you, game. Don't do this to me.
Yeah.
So, this collector's edition of the game includes 8 extra locations, 8 extra mini games, and even more objects for your collection compared to the standard version on PC. So, with this one coming in at $10, what do you two think?
I mean, for $10, it's not the worst hidden object game I've ever played, but, I don't know. I mean, that's kind of the standard price for these kind of things, but at the same time, I'd be 15. Wait for a second.
Artifacts jumped to $15 for theirs.
I only ever got those when they were on sale, so, to be fair. I don't know. I'd say wait for a sale on this. It wasn't anything mind-blowing, but then again, very rarely in this genre is it.
Or win it free in chat, because we still have more to give away, courtesy Ocean Media. Thank you again.
Because there was no story, I'm going to go with a try it on this one. I think the price is good for the content. I just felt it was a little lacking for what else is available in the genre.
Sounds good. All right, number 3 from Ocean is Destination Paradise. Developed by Seven Sails, published by Ocean Media. Released August 6th on Xbox One and Series X and S for $9.99. Embark on a global adventure to uncover magical destinations. Destination Paradise invites players on an immersive hidden object adventure across 20 meticulously crafted chapters, each unfolding in beautiful locations around the world. As you progress through the game, you'll encounter three distinct... No, we're not doing this. As you progress through the game, you'll encounter three unique scenes within each chapter, presenting a delightful array of challenges. Jacob and Marie, both of you covered this one. Jacob, what is Destination Paradise?
I mean, Destination Paradise has about as much of a plot as Lost and Found Agency. Actually, no. Lost and Found Agency, I think, technically had more story because you knew that you were being hired by a detective agency. This is just...
You're on vacation, I guess? Yeah.
Maybe, or you're just jet setting, and it's like each area is supposed to be like a different like city or place in the world, and you're supposed to find all these items on this list. There is also a hidden postcard and an X symbol somewhere in each level puzzle. I don't know what to really call it.
It's a scene,
and then. Much like the other one, there was kind of like there was also like some language barriers with it, and I forget what the heck it was, but it was just like I was like, what the crap am I looking for? And I ended up having to use hints for it. But like the game also hides stuff in very like I don't know. I didn't think that the art was as good in this one as Lost and Found Agency. Like there were items where I was like, oh, like this was supposed to be like a battery or like that's supposed to be a shotgun shell. Like, okay, I guess.
Yeah. Graphically, everything felt fuzzy around the edges, like the hidden objects, the puzzle items, the menu boxes. And there was a zoom that you could do.
Oh my God. And the zoom is so awful. Pixelated.
It's awful.
It was so awful, like because it's either you're looking at the whole entire scene or you're zoomed in really close. There is no choice between the two, and it is horrendous. And then to top it off, like you're limited as to like how many destinations you can initially go to. You can't advance to the next part until you finish. Like so, each area has. Or each chapter, whatever you want to call it, has three different scenes, images, or whatever. And then there is a fourth puzzle that you have to put together, a jigsaw puzzle. Or actually, it's not always a jigsaw puzzle. Sometimes it's like a tile swap thing. And it's just like these photos where everything looks way too similar, or it's too dark, or it's too... And it's just like, God... Like, I just want to get to the next scene. I don't, like, this puzzle sucks. I hate it. Like, I want to do this.
I appreciate on this one how the hidden object stuff, sometimes the words are kind of, like, jumbled up or letters missing.
Yeah, that was the other thing I wanted to talk about.
Little wrench into it.
It's sometimes they're missing letters, like the vowels. Sometimes the words are scrambled. So there's, like, a little more leap in the mental gymnastics of it. I thought that was a fun challenge.
The one I'm looking at has W*NGS. And I know it's Wang's.
Yeah, I think that was the one I took a screenshot of. Because I remember I took a screenshot in this game because it was like, oh man, this looks dirty.
There were a couple that looked dirty, for sure.
What the heck? I'm trying to find my...
Ocean, you nasty.
Dang it.
All right, well, I'll share this one. What do you think?
No. Sorry, that was a little enthusiastic. No, I wouldn't recommend it for $10.
This one was tricky for me to rate. So I'm going to go with a try it on this one, too. Like, it had a good amount of content for the price, but it doesn't have a story, like, at all. I actually really liked the word jumble aspect of it. I thought that was something unique that I haven't seen in the genre before. There's a good amount of hidden objects. The graphics were nothing to write home about. In fact, like I said, they were kind of bad. The music was pretty good for a game like this. I felt like the best answer was to go middle of the road. Like, if you like hidden objects scenes with mostly jigsaw puzzles, like, you could definitely do worse.
And it's, you know, in these days, $10 is kind of cheap per game.
Yeah, it's a good amount of content for it.
Like, this ain't the 360 days where we could get $3 games that are quality.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we could still get $3 games today, but, oh, goddamn. All right, one more Ocean Media game to talk about, and that is Jewel Match Solitaire Winterscapes 2. Developed by Circuit Software, published by Ocean Media, released August 7th on Xbox One, Series X and S, $9.99. Take a break from the holiday hustle. Clear icy tableaus in frosty levels with classic and new solitaire variants like Genghis Khan, Lullaby, or Mammoth. Build fantasy locations in a picturesque winter wonderland with enchanting backgrounds from a cozy cottage to a snow-covered palace. Jacob and Bree, both of you cover this. Jacob, kick it off. Winterscapes 2.
I mean, did you play the previous Jewel Match Solitaire game?
I did not.
Oh.
I jumped into the sequel with no idea what I was getting myself into.
Oh, geez. Okay. Well, this game... yeah, you missed out on a lot of plot, and you're not going to understand the romance storyline without it. Now, this is pretty much the same exact game, except now you're building, like, winter, like, castles instead of, like, tropical castles or, like, underwater various stuff. There's really not a whole lot has changed with this. So with this game, it's based on a version of Solitaire I'm not sure is actually real. Like, outside of, like, what they did. And pretty much you have this card that you pick out of, like, it's Solitaire, okay? You've got cards out on the table. You have your throwaway pile and your pull pile. And you pull a single card and you try to see if it matches. Not matches, but if it's one up or one down from one of the cards that's on there. So, like, let's say that you pull a four and there's a five on the table, you could play it against that. So now the number that you're looking at is four, and you have to see whether there's another five on the table, whether there is a five in the pull hand, or like a three on either one of those locations. And as you're doing this, you're building up a bonus thing which gives you more points, which really doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things, because the thing that you're actually after are the emeralds, because the emeralds are necessary to be able to build all of these structures that you're trying to build these, like, wonderful little winterscapes of. I mean, the game itself is fun, and then it does have other game modes of Solitaire with it, so of course you can play Klondike, so, you know, you're not left out on this. Yeah, there were a decent amount. There's also Mahjong and a couple of other things. So Match it's a lot. Levels. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, but unfortunately they're locked behind stars, bonus stars. And you have to grind the game a lot to be able to just play the Mahjong and stuff.
I don't know. I mean, like, I didn't think it was that much of a grind, to be honest. Like, I mean, but I don't know. Like, I like the main game. It's
what about the, like, music? Because I couldn't get it to change to anything but Oh Holy Night, and that was a little frustrating. There is a music player that you can change the song and listen to the song in the music player, and there's like 7 or 8 songs that you can switch between, but as soon as you back out of the music player, it does not land on the song you had selected. It just goes back to Oh Holy Night. It's like, it's good music. It's piano. It's lovely. Well done, you know, holiday music, but that one song on loop is a little much.
I, you know what? I totally forgot about that, because usually I play with the, Yeah, well, I play with the sound down a lot because this is like stuff like this gets played at nighttime. And one of the things I thought was a little disappointing is that this game is not Xbox Play Anywhere. Like, you'd figure like a solitaire game, you could just fire it up on your Xbox app on your PC. You can't do that. I was surprised.
Yeah, unfortunately, it seems like the Ocean games are not PC at all. It's just all Xbox ports.
Yeah.
So, Ocean, if you are listening, might be worth looking into possibly making these titles available on the Xbox PC storefront with Play Anywhere. I would imagine it would help a lot with some of the porting issues going from PC to console with like UI issues, control issues, stuff like that. I think switching this to Play Anywhere and adding Xbox PC versions would be a great idea for them. It seems like in general, all the Ocean Media games we're getting are good, but rough around the edges. And if they could smooth it out and polish everything and get everything working how it should be, I think they could have a solid lineup of releases.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, honestly, like, I mean, hell, Darksteel Legends, like, throw some more arenas into it. Like, make the combat a little bit, you know, more than just rock, paper, scissors with button mashing. You know, and
given that one was a mobile game, I kind of understand that.
I know, but I mean, like, you could update it to make it not so grindy, but I don't know. But I mean, yeah, and like Destination Paradise, improve the art, improve the magnifying, like fixes that we would hope would be easy, you know?
No, I don't make games, so Jewel Match Solitaire, $10. Overall verdict on that.
Yeah, I'd be all right with that. It's like, if you like solitaire, if you're kind of, I'll just play it on my phone and maybe wait for a sale. But if you're a fan of it, I'd say, yeah.
Yeah, I'd say try it for me. Like, if you really love solitaire, you could definitely do worse. I've seen worse.
Yeah. Our friend Ryan E. Miller did want to chime in that this one is appearing to have the same save issues that some of the other games he covered, he talked about. Overall, the four games from Ocean, overall, thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle. What do you think of this four pack?
Thumbs in the middle for me.
In the middle.
Is it good enough to do a giveaway?
I think so.
Well, yeah.
Do we do one?
I think so.
I don't know. How many do we have to give away?
Two.
Okay, so there'd be another one at the end?
Or for next week.
Well, I'm just saying, like, you don't want to blow your load right now.
Well, we have Ship Graveyard to give away, too.
Oh, I like when
Let's get an sexy Ocean winner right now. Giveaway. We are going to close this giveaway because we're going to switch over to the Ship Graveyard after this. So giveaway Lowe's. We'll give you a couple more seconds to get those last second entries in.
All right, Ashley said hi.
Jacob says hi.
Did you hear?
No.
She said hi.
You're not loud enough, Ashley.
Hi!
Oh, I heard that. Tell her she shouldn't shout. That's not nice.
Jacob said, don't shout. That's not nice. Giveaway close. Giveaway draw. Congrats to Injury, who literally just entered for Raider Biz. So congrats to Raider Biz.
Raider Biz. Yay.
Raider Biz is getting a four pack of games, courtesy Ocean Media and Injury. So, Raider Biz, I am shooting you a whisper right now.
Ooh, right in front of three, too. You slut.
Yeah. All right. Next game. We got more games to talk about. Next up. Where the hell was it? Steam Punch Lost Tombs, developed and published by Aphil Games. Released August 14th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Xbox PC, PS4, PS5, $4.99 each. Steam Punch, Lost Tombs takes the action to a whole new level with simplified combat, mysterious levers, and precision-based platforming. Run, jump, and dash in 8 directions as you explore dangerous tombs, collect relics, and unlock portals to the next challenge. The tombs await. Are you ready? DX, break it down. Jacob, Aki, and Bree all covered this one. Aki, you haven't talked in a while, so Jacob, start us off. What is Steam Punch?
So Steam Punch Lost Tombs is the sequel to the previous Steam Punch game, which has this young, like, she's possibly a teenager, I don't know, young woman who has these, like, well, steampunkish kind of like Mega Man sized arms, and she uses them to, let's keep this one G rated, guys.
Punch.
She uses them to punch people.
Hey.
Good job. And so in the first one, you had to rescue these animal kind of things. In this one, you're finding artifacts, relics, which really just looks like the same woolen shirt that your Aunt Shirley gave you when you were 10, even though you specifically asked for Megatron. And, you know, you definitely don't remember it still all of these years later.
Wow.
Anyway, so and you're running through these levels, jumping, dashing, and punching all these different types of robots, all who have their own different like attack patterns. And so it kind of plays with like a Mega Man game, except that you punch everyone. Anybody want to add anything?
I mean, you can punch enemies or jump on their heads. Some enemies have shields.
That's true. That's true.
They'll shoot at you, or they won't go down easy. Some enemies jump or fly. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, you can go to the end of the level without getting the loot, but you'll miss out on achievements.
The game so needs some instructions.
Yeah,
that I was didn't the first realize. Thing I noticed. Yeah, I didn't realize you could dash anywhere.
Yeah.
You can, in any direction. I just assumed you could dash whatever direction you were facing, because that makes sense in most of these games, and that's not the case. So I sat there for like 10, 15, 20 minutes just getting angrier and angrier on level 2, because I didn't realize you could dash in whatever direction you wanted, because
the game never told you. There was no tutorial at all. But yeah,
well, you dash Steam Punch is dog shit. There's no way to beat level fucking 2. You have a gap too big to jump across, and you can't jump high enough to get out of it once you're in it. This is fucking stupid.
What? That was my complaint.
Me. True achievement says people completed it. Is there a mechanic you gotta use? You. There's no instructions. I have no idea. Me. Double jump? Direction and a jump, direction and any button, bumpers, sometimes they use weird buttons. K4 beat it, so it's got to be beatable. Nothing I push does any goddamn thing.
Yeah, I was getting pissy.
What'd you have to push?
I don't remember anymore.
Proud of you.
Yeah. What, for dad? Oh. I was going to say on Windows PC, it's C.
I use controller. I probably used one of the bumpers, actually, because I'm pretty sure dash is a whole bunch of damn buttons on the controller. Yeah, you have to angle it, and yeah, it would be nice if the game actually fucking told you that. That would be kind
of the angle of the dangle.
There are checkpoints though that you can use by punching things, which is nice.
Yeah.
There's 30 levels in the game, but there's only 15 needed for the current achievements.
They're very easy to complete, so go ahead and complete them all and collect all the items anyways.
Yep.
Then you future-proof the achievement list and make your life a little easier. I do that with all of these games.
Not always, because sometimes they actually add in like items like jewels or something like that, that you have to, so you still have to like go play the levels all over again.
Yeah.
I haven't come across that yet. In the moment,
and I have seen some that aren't retroactive either. So you gotta like go in.
Yeah, but usually you just have to go in and like click restart a whole bunch of times or undo a bunch of times or something. And it's like, that doesn't matter to me. That's fine. Because chances are those were the last achievements I got any damn way.
All right. Steam Punch is $5. What do you think?
I like it.
I'm for it. I think they need to add in some instructions just so people know what the fuck they're doing. But otherwise, yeah, it's fine. Once you know what you're doing, it's good.
I'm guessing there's no instructions because it's a sequel.
Yeah.
That could be, but
so I just want different, but I liked it. It was good.
Cool. Next up, the AFIL Games game we talked about 20 minutes ago. Next week. Temari Trials, developed and published by AFIL Games. Released August 12th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Xbox PC, PS4, and PS5, $4.99 each. Step into the sharp mind and quick paws of a samurai cat in training. Bree, how didn't you get this one? And Temari Trials... Oh, that makes sense. In Temari Trials, you'll solve logic-based Sokoban style puzzles.
Sokobaner.
Pushing Temaris to unlock chests and prove you're ready for the warrior's path. With pixel art visuals and grid-based gameplay, it's easy to learn, hard to master. Each level challenges your thinking, and if you make a mistake, don't worry. You can undo as many times as you like, Jacob Garner. Precision is part of the training. Jacob and Aki. Jacob, start off.
Oh, yeah. Did you wish that your Sokoban game could have, like, a samurai kitty character? Well, if you've been waiting all this time, has AFIL got the game for you?
Is it Sokoban?
It is Sokoban.
Are you sure?
Do you know what it has in it?
Blocks.
Bonds that are Sokud?
Ninja kitties.
Yay! Mm-hmm.
Is that what you were looking for, Joe?
Yeah.
Well, then, you're in luck, man. It's a Sokoban game. You move around a bunch of crap. You try not to shove anything into walls unless you're trying to move it left or right. Even then, you have to be careful. Like, you can't drag stuff, and you're trying to unlock treasure chests this time. Ooh.
Kinky bananas.
Aki, say something.
Kinky bananas.
No, about the game.
No.
Oh, about the game. Okay.
No, okay.
This starts off pretty easily, but some of the levels are kind of a pain in the ass because they start introducing things like right-angled bamboo shoots that you can fling the Temari ball at, and it goes around, and it makes it kind of hard sometimes in some levels to get the ball where it needs to go, but overall it's not that hard because it is a very easy, simple game.
Did you say there were balls?
Yes, this is a ball sport game. Yep.
By the way, if you didn't check out last episode of the show, we had Mel Kirk of Zen Studios on. You should jump back and check that episode out. It's a good one. Yeah. Right, Bree?
Very good one.
It was awesome. I had fun.
It was good. And, like, you were prepared and shit. That was weird.
Yeah. I had more questions, but the Arcadian had, like, some questions that were on my list, too. So, yeah.
I'd love to get the Arcadian on the show with Grant sometime.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. All right, Temari Trials is $5. Verdicts.
Sure.
Jacob. Yay!
What?
Oh, you weren't paying attention
because you just said to me. What'd you think?
Temari Trials, verdict.
If you're into Sokoban, like, then yeah. If you're not, then go spend $5 elsewhere. AFIL's got plenty of decent $5 games. If you're not into this kind of puzzle, then this one's not going to magically make you, like, love the genre.
Or take that $5 and put it towards a sub to the SML podcast, your favorite podcast on Twitch that stars Joe Cam and Jacob, I guess.
Is it the only one?
I don't know about that, but...
And not on any other.
It's the only one that's still like my favorite one of it.
Well, so then it also loses by. Yeah, but what if it's also my least favorite podcast featuring Joe Cam?
You don't need the qualifier for that one.
That's fair. That is fair.
I will say, Twitch came to the fucking rescue this week. Helldivers is out next week, right? Or no, 2 weeks.
Okay.
$60.
Whatever. Yeah.
We're broke. Okay. I ain't got nothing. I got a $60 Twitch payout today. Helldivers is happening.
Wait, it's not a Game Pass game?
No, it's fucking Sony.
I don't know. MLB The Show was for years.
That was published by MLB, not published by Sony.
Whatever, man.
Yeah, Xbox care. Worked out the deal directly with Major League Baseball. Sony had zero say in that, and they were not happy.
Yeah, the amount of fucks that I don't give are unrivaled.
Sony was crazy pissed about that, but they couldn't do anything because MLB was like, this is happening, or you guys aren't making the game anymore. So, there you have it.
The joy of someone giving a big corporation the finger. Yeah. Glorious.
All right, next game, Bonk and Bash, developed and published by Synergy Circle Games. Released August 5th on Xbox One, Series X and S, and Xbox PC, $4.99 each. A small and hard-headed dinosaur sets off on an adventure to break obstacles, defeat enemies, and gather all the lost dinosaur eggs lost after the eruption started. Help our little friend continue the mighty dino lineage by saving all the eggs and avoiding total extinction. Bree, you covered this one. Jacob, start us off with Bonk and Bash.
Jacob?
What?
Are you not listening?
No, not really. And I was kind of freaking out when Joe said that. Like, and I was, because I was trying to go along with the joke. But at the same time, I couldn't find it quick enough, and I'm just like, oh no. So.
It's all good. I got this
here
one.
I am. Yeah, I know, because I didn't play this game.
We talked about that before the show, too.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, this game's about a dinosaur who can jump and dash with his big head to bonk into things. In this platformer, you'll encounter enemies like worms, bats, and slimes to defeat, and obstacles like spikes and levers and things like that. There's a very limited tutorial that has you move and jump, but didn't tell me how to bonk things, otherwise known as dashing. I eventually figured it out when I got to an impossible jump on the second level, but I guess it's in the name, so I should have known. The goal is to get to the end of the level and collect a colorful dino egg. When you do, your blue dino does a cute little dance. Side goals include killing enemies, collecting tasty meat from them. Other than achievements, though, there was no real motivation to collect all the meat or kill all the enemies. Pixel art is cute, but I personally found the color palette unappealing. The spikes are unforgiving. They insta-kill you despite having three hearts to make your way through a level. Their boundary box is a bit too big in my experience. Some of the monsters, specifically the slimes, can jump up and move to you, which is irritating, and they can jump through platforms when they do it. Enemies like bats are put hovering in areas with falling platforms, and other enemies you need to bonk are on short platforms that you can't run on for your bonk dash. I fell off a moving platform at one point and hit the invisible floor and had to exit to the menu and restart the level. There is this one fucking blue pixel at the start of every level that is burned into the screen, and it makes me mad.
Oh, no.
There are 25 levels to master, but to get all the current achievements, you don't need to play more than a few levels. You just have to die a bunch and bonk into things and collect meat, which is good because as a platformer, I can't recommend this. I did not have fun. It's good for the easy achievements, though.
Damn. That's a bummer. Yeah. I thought this one looked cute.
Yeah, me too.
$5, verdict.
I think there are plenty of other Synergy Circle games that are much better than this. Go spend your $5 there.
Sounds good. All right, we got one final game to talk about tonight, and we're going to give it a recap and talk about the DLC for it. Ship Graveyard Simulator 2 Submarine and Steel Giants DLC, developed by Games Incubator, published by Ultimate Games, both released August 7th on Series X and S. Submarines is $7.99, Steel Giants is $6.99. Submarine says, explore a new dimension of gameplay. You won't be able to throw the box into the truck as you did before, but you have to make your way outside from the inside of the ship. Get rid of the floors, walls, and connectors to open the hole and see the sky. Get ready to smash some submarines. Then Steel Giants, prepare for the ultimate challenge in ship dismantling with the Steel Giants DLC. New four colossals, a tanker, gas carrier, nuclear icebreaker, and huge container ship. Each of them present unique challenges and opportunities in those giants. Jacob and Bree, both of you covered the game and the DLC. Well, Jacob, I think you covered the game a while ago. Give us a quick recap on the game, Jacob, and then we could talk about the DLC.
So Ship Graveyard Simulator is a, like, it's a deconstruct, like, it's a deconstruction game. And you play as this guy who strips ships of, like, old ships of their resources, which could be, you know, like oil. It could be cargo that they just left behind. It could be like types of metal, types of wood, all that kind of stuff. And you have various tools that you have to use to help break apart the ship, like a hammer, a blowtorch, you have a saw at your disposal. Eventually you can start using charges, to, like, let's say you have to blow open a door or a wall, something like that. And there's also, mobile, I forget how they're worded. It's like mobile, mobile trash containers or something. Like, it's so, like, you don't have to keep running back to your truck to throw your stuff. It gets more useful in bigger ships with more floors, or like the subs and stuff like that. But anyways, yeah, you're breaking apart all of these ships, selling the scrap, upgrading your tools, upgrading the crane that's used to pull up some of the cargo and stuff like that, and go buy a new, you know, go buy a new scrap heap to, you know, break down again. It's a very chill game, almost like meditative as you're breaking things down. And the game does present some puzzles, at some point, in terms of like trying to figure out where, like, the electricity box is to be able to, like, make it so you can break down further parts of the ship. So, you know, that does kind of break up the monotony of it, if that's not exactly your bag. Anyway, so we have two new DLC packs to this game. What are they called? It's Steel Giants and
Submarines.
Subs?
Yeah.
Okay. So I played the Submarine DLC more than the other ones, and that's because I had started with this first. I got to take apart a sub, and yeah, that thing was a pain in the butt. And because, yeah, you can't be constantly, like, chucking, like, your cargo box, like, you know, over the side of the ship. Cause there's only, like, a small hole starting out, on the sub, and then you have to, like, work your way through it and pretty much, like, be able to deconstruct the top of it. And have that hauled away so you can even, like,
my tanker, dear Liza, sorry.
Anyway, and then also with this, you start having to deal with, like, nuclear reactors and nuclear waste, which, if you get exposed to too much radiation, your character will black out and you'll find yourself back at, like, you having respawned at your house. I like this. Like, it was a bit of a challenge, but also at the same time, I'm like, yo, fuck subs. I had fun doing it, but at the, like, it was just like, oh man, I hate not being able to throw my cargo box over the side. And then I didn't get to play the Steel Giants one as much because I accidentally started up like the wrong boat. For some reason I was thinking that the Steel Giants also was part of the Warships DLC, which Xbox got for free, at launch. So I had accidentally started up a warship and I'm like, well, I can't refund myself on this thing. Like, I'm going to have to, like, you know, I'm just going to have to power through this damn boat. So now I am working on the oil tanker. And yeah, like, it's, holy shit, this ship is huge. And yeah, it's presenting its own challenges. Because, again, this thing is fucking huge. And you have to figure out how you're going to get all the shit off of it. Because there are areas where it's just like a solid 40 feet of no place to for you to actually stand. All right, how are you going to, like, how are you going to take care of that thing that you need to get rid of on there? But yeah, like, I'm having fun with it. I have noticed a couple of times some graphic stutter, but I mean, also at the same time, I mean, you're dealing with, like, I think there's like 10,000 like destructible items on like the steel tanker level. And I forget how many other said are just like all the other shit that keeps the level together. So it's just like, there is a lot going on in this game graphic wise. So, you know, be mindful of that. There was also a save issue. You will have to delete your old game, but not your profile, I believe it is, Bree. How'd you explain it?
So my issue was continuing my save file. I had to go and load the game manually. I started a new game and then because it wouldn't continue. The continue didn't right. It just would sit there and spin. So you had to go in and load your game manually. Where it told me the current version wasn't compatible with the new update. It allowed me to refund the ship I was working on and go back to the hub with my other save data intact, which was fine. It just was a little bit of a problem. I was able to see the new submarines and the colossal pieces. So, yeah.
I was going to say, it also did, like, does give you the option to, like, keep working on the same boat if you so choose. It did for me.
Yeah, I think it gave me some options similar to that, but I chose to just refund it, which was good because if you play the game and you have some money, you can jump into these right away. But if you don't have any money, it's going to take you a little bit of playing, you know, additional missions to be able to get to these. But they're just available in the game once you load in. So that was good.
All right. Any other thoughts on anything the DLC?
I got more. I just didn't want to interrupt Bree.
Oh yeah, no, go ahead. Go ahead, Jacob.
Oh, okay. So if you've already been playing this game, this one actually helped get me over the hump to get some of my tools upgraded to level 10 on this kind of stuff. So if you haven't done that, this DLC will help with that. Quite a bit. And also, holy crap, when you get your hammer leveled up, you're wielding like Thor's hammer and like just breaking shit apart. And I don't know, I'm really pleased with this game and where I'm at in it. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. So if you already have this game, get the DLC. If you don't have this game, get the game and the DLC.
There's steps to this, Jacob. Jesus Christ.
Oh, my bad.
You old wiener. Bree, any final comments on your end about the games and the DLC?
Oh, no. I'm good. I was having fun with it. I just didn't have as much time as I wanted to put into it this week. So,
very good. Let's talk pricing on all of this. Ship Graveyard Sim 2 by itself, $29.99. What do you think?
Yes.
Great price. Yep.
This is one of my favorite Xbox Series X games. Like,
very cool.
I'm playing this from when we got it to review to when the DLC came out. I've still been playing it this whole entire time. Like, it's a great game.
Nerd. Submarine DLC is $7.99. Thoughts?
It's a lot of fun, but a pain in the ass. I would recommend it. Yeah.
Bree?
I'm all for it.
All right. Steel Giants DLC, $6.99.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's some big fuckers.
Sweet.
Yeah.
And for the people who want it all, Ship Graveyard Simulator 2 Complete Edition includes the game and the two DLCs. A little bit of a savings, $39.99 for everything. Verdict.
Yes. I
haven't already gotten into it. That's a good price. Yeah.
Very good. Very, very good. Aki, verdict.
Kinky, I love it. Go play it.
I think we should let someone in the audience play it. What do you think of that?
Now, yeah. Are they only getting the DLC, or is it the DLC
in
the
game? Oh, no. Ultimate Games hooked us up. Winner gets full game key and both DLC keys.
Oh, shit. Lucky bastard.
Indeed. Unfortunately, it's not a complete edition code, so you got to enter three separate codes. But you can fucking deal with that for free shit, people.
First world problems.
I want to point something out here. It's almost like if you're not here on the Twitch live show, you're really missing out.
You are. Especially because fucking no one's watching us on YouTube now. So join us here. So at least people know we're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Our YouTube views are awful. Music this episode. I don't know what I'm going to play. I'll figure something out. Maybe I'll look for like a ship song. Or no, we're not doing that.
A sea shanty?
Yes, let's do rock and roll sea shanties.
Oh, I have... I think Tony Dickinson did it. Like a 20-minute Shantae medley.
Okay.
A Shantae shanty?
I don't know if it's necessarily a shanty, but it is Shantae.
Shantae.
What are we going to do if we get that interview set up and we have to explain that? Shantae?
I don't know. I would like it explained because I know y'all have been doing that forever. I don't know why you do it, though.
Me neither.
Yeah, I don't either. Okay.
Like, I'd have to go back and listen to, like, the first 10 episodes to remember why we did.
All right. Oh,
well. Yeah, that was, like, an original joke of the show back in the day. See, let's draw a winner. We're just, like, killing time here. Giveaway. Can't fucking type. Draw. And I am not clearing the entries because we will have a second package to give away after the music.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Right.
Let's draw a winner.
Give away a package.
You're gross. Winner is Raider Biz.
Raider Biz again.
Congrats, Raider Biz. You are getting rained on with codes tonight. Holy shit. You were getting DM'd, and I just hit a bookmark button and fucked up my entire screen. All right, so yeah, there we
go. Saying he entered for entry?
Entered for... Oh, that is awesome! Injury one for Raider, Raider one for injury. That is cool as fuck. I love all of you in the community.
And then they kissed.
I wish.
No? Oh.
Someone would be upset if that happened.
I might be a little upset.
Yeah.
And oh, you wouldn't just film it? Okay.
I was gonna say, I mean, like,
that's Bree's on the side
material, but okay.
Bree's like on the side of him, staring at him both like deeper. Use tongue.
A little more tongue.
Do this right for me.
I don't know about that.
So yeah, congrats to Injury who won via Raider Biz, and earlier congrats to Raider Biz who won via Injury. I love how that worked out.
Mm-hmm.
And to BXL who won for BXL.
Yeah. After Dark with SML. I mean, we do have the button for that. Right?
SML. Yep, After Dark.
Listen here, fuck snort.
We got to end the show. Anyone have any final words to end this episode?
Good job, drug addicts.
Yeah, I'm good with that.